Our guest today is a professor of Bible theology, a pastor of a Bible church, a husband, a father, and now an author. And that's what we want to look at today, the last description. His name is Dr. Andy Woods, and our guest today on KHCB. And you have written a new book, and I know that every author loves the fact that they finally get one done. But it's something that you have in your mind, and at the top of the page, or actually in the cover, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's." Dr. Andy Woods, our guest, and I want to let you kind of describe your heart and your pulse as to why you would write a book about this nation.
That's a great question. I mean, one of the things is, I don't know, we all have different burdens that God puts on our hearts. And I have a legal background, and so one of the things that sort of bothered me, you know, over some of the education I've received is people generally don't acknowledge the role that the Bible has had on the United States of America and Western civilization. And so one of the things I wanted to do is write a book sort of documenting the influence that the Bible has had on America's founding documents. And I don't think I'm the first person that's ever done this, but I think I had some unique things to say in it. And that's sort of something that's been on my heart. And I don't think the blessings that we've had in this country over the last 200-plus years could have materialized without the biblical influence on our founding documents. I mean, we've had more political and economic freedom probably than any other nation in the history of mankind. And where did that come from? You know, I think the Bible had something to do with it. Not to say that we are a perfect country, far, far from it, but there's something very special about our system.
So at one time, or hopefully in the future time, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We're hoping that our nation will have God as the Lord. And there are many gods out there.
Sure.
Little g.
Sure. We're sort of living off borrowed capital, in a sense, because even as our nation is moving further and further away from its biblical origins, we still have a biblical foundation, and we're reaping the benefits of it today.
And that's the challenge, I think, that most of us are hearing in the news media today, maybe even seeing if you're a student in the classroom, is that there is no biblical foundation. But your book seems to show that there is. And how do you go through and prove that case?
Well, one of the things I rely upon is a study that was done in the 1980s by a couple of political scientists. One of them, I believe, was located right out here at the University of Houston. Lutz and Heinemann. It was an article that appeared in a political science journal, and it subsequently developed into a book they wrote. But they looked at all of the quotations from the founding era. And they wanted to see what did the founders quote from the most. And astonishingly, they found that 34% of the quotations come directly from the Bible. And that's more than three times the second source they cited, which was Blackstone. And then they cited Locke. And then they cited Montesquieu. But far above and beyond those philosophers that they cited the Bible. Hmm. And one of the things that's interesting is you get into Blackstone and Montesquieu and Locke, those guys were steeped in the Bible. So when our founding fathers weren't quoting the Bible, they were quoting men who were very influenced by the Bible. So
yeah,
it kind of
students, yeah.
Yeah, students. So it stands to me to be reasonable to see a lot of concepts in our Constitution in the Bible. And so I tried to enumerate those.
All right. Hence the Bible. Hence the book called Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution. How the Constitution is based on the Bible. And Dr. Andy Woods writing this. It's published by Schofield Ministries.
Mm-hmm. Schofield Ministries.
And available through a website if you'd like more information. By the way, let's go through all the aspects. You're a professor of Bible theology. Where at?
Yeah, I'm a professor of Bible and theology at the College of Biblical Studies here in Houston. So I spend a lot of time thinking about the Bible and theology. So one of the things that I think bring to the table is kind of an understanding that the Bible doesn't just sit in the four corners of the church, but it influences the world, and this would be an outworking of it.
Hmm. And I guess what the application is that maybe we too can have an influence?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think Jesus talked about being salt and light to the world, and Oh, I don't know. I think the principles of Christianity can apply to every realm of life. Medicine, law, politics, you name it.
Hmm. Now, what is the Darwin and evolution part of the book have to do with the Constitution?
Yeah, the Darwin evolution part is really an opening chapter which talks about what's wrong with the legal system. And I'm kind of the view that a lot of it started with the theory of evolution. And most people, when they think about evolution, just think about biology. But one of the things that I try to document in the book and really explain it, and I've gotten very good feedback from people on this, that I've connected some dots for people that they normally wouldn't think about. But evolution is not just about biology and science, but it's a worldview. And so when Darwin published his Origin of the Species in 1859, the legal philosophers in the law schools about 1870 took Darwin's beliefs and they assumed it was biologically true, which I don't think it is biologically true, but they assumed its truth, and they built on top of it a legal philosophy. So kind of the idea is, if society is evolving upward, then we need a document, i.e. the Constitution, which evolves upward. And once that became entrenched in the thinking of legal philosophers, then they began to, in essence, say, well, the function of a judge is to evolve the document upward. And so that, you know, we hear all the time all of this talk about a living document and a breathing document. And it's rooted in evolutionary thought. And I try to connect the dots in that opening chapter.
All right. Dr. Andy Woods, our guest today, Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution. And as we get to celebrate another national birthday, we thought this would be an appropriate interview to give you an idea of something that is on our minds and certainly in the news every day. And we need to get into the next aspect about the big lie, and I want to ask about that. First of all, let me tell you, we're listening to Dr. Andy Woods, our guest today, a professor at the College of Biblical Studies, also the pastor of a Bible church, a husband and a father. Yeah, in spare time, you write books, huh?
Yeah, just spare time I've got, which really isn't much.
It's non-existent, I'm sure, for all of us, but let alone your huge work schedule, and I'm sure it didn't take place overnight. Let me first tell people that if you'd like more information, there is a website so that you can find details about this book and get more information, www.bestmen, it's Best Ministries, but just abbreviate ministry, bestmen.org, bestmen.org, and I think Best is B. There's an acronym there, right?
Yeah, that's a nonprofit I started called Best Ministries. The B stands for Bible, E, Exposition, S, Systematic, and T, Theology. So it's Bible, Exposition, Systematic Theology Ministries, which relates to sort of my job at the college.
Okay.
But it's just a nonprofit group that wants to put out information to help the public and the body of Christ in the area of Bible exposition and systematic theology.
All right, bestmen.org, and you go to their website, and they'll give you details about the book called Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution. You don't mince words. You say it's a big lie, and that is the idea that there is a separation between church and state. Mm-hmm. What is the big lie, and why do you call it a lie?
Well, I've got 9 points, you know, as to why I think it's a lie. And, you know, that is a strong word, but let me just kind of take you back a little bit. When I was a brand new Christian in high school, this would be back in California, we wanted to start a Bible club at the public school that I was involved in, and we kind of got hauled into the principal's office, and what's the matter with you boys? Was kind of the lecture we got. Don't you understand there's a strict wall of separation between church and state? So, you know, very early on, I became interested in this. What is this strict wall of separation between church and state? And I pulled out the copy of the Constitution and read the First Amendment for myself, and I don't see the word strict. I don't see the word wall. I don't see the word separation. I don't see the word church. I don't see the word state. So where did this idea come from? And my conclusion on it is it comes very late in judicial history, and it's basically almost an invention by jurists. I should make clear that I do believe church and state have different functions. I don't want them merged. But at the same time, the way the phrase is used today, if you're a person with a biblical orientation, you're basically told you can have no influence at all on how the state should function. That's the way the term is used. And so I try to show that that was about as far from the thinking of the founding fathers as you can imagine. And it's one of the things that's troubled me is it's used selectively also. You know, it never applies to humanism, which is a religion. It only applies to Christianity. So the chapter is really pointing that concept out, and it's pointing out where this whole idea came from.
Okay, the Darwin evolution on the American Constitution, and as you would guess, he doesn't mince words. He's pretty forthright, but he does have several chapters on the influence of modern thought and then the influence of the Bible in the actual writing of the Constitution. Lots of sources cited. You did a lot of research on this rendition of the book.
Yeah, I tried to footnote, and that's one of the things that my training in at the seminary helped me with. They really wouldn't let you make a statement unless you footnoted it. And so I was just coming off my dissertation out there, and so I was trying to follow that same practice, you know, so to let people know that there's actually a foundation for the statements that are made.
In partnership with Schofield Ministries, this book also has a couple of chapters by Dr. Mal Couch, and that's also on a very fascinating subject. I think a lot of people are thinking about it nowadays, and that is about Christ's second coming.
Yeah, the second coming, and a lot of people look at this and say, well, those are two completely different subjects, but really they tie together because the issue is what we would call hermeneutics or interpretation. And one of the things we've noticed is the same kind of drift away from literal interpretation that many evangelicals are drifting towards in the area of prophecy. You find that same mindset at work in Judges. They're drifting away from, you know, trying to get to the author's intent of the Constitution. And so that's one way these sections tie together. Another way is, you know, one day the systems of man will fail. I would say one day our own Constitution, which has blessed so many people, will fail, but there is coming a prophetic kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, in which God will set up his system, which will never fail.
And be true and be right. And something we look forward to. Looking forward to you getting more information about Dr. Andy Wood's book. It's called Darwin, Evolution and the American Constitution. It's available through www.bestmen.org for more information. That website, bestmen or bestministries.org. Andy Wood's our guest today, professor of Bible and Theology at the College of Biblical Studies, pastor of Sugar Land Bible Church, and our guest today on KHCB. Well, thank you for taking time. Godspeed as you serve, and thanks for delving into a subject that is in the headlines, but doesn't always mean that we understand all the aspects and nuances.
Thanks for having me.
You're tuned to Christian Radio, keeping him close by.